الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين أما بعد فقد قال الله سبحانه وتعالى في كلامه المجيد والفرقان الحميد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا صدق الله العظيم. I begin in the name of Allah, most gracious, most merciful, and I bear witness that there is none worthy of worship except Allah, and that His beloved Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is His last and final messenger. We begin by praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for His help, His protection, His mercy, His forgiveness, and praying and begging Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us amongst the successful ones, both in this life and in the hereafter. Ameen ya Rabbal Alameen. Every human being, regardless of their color, background, religion, creed, that lives a natural course of life in this world, goes through certain things in his or her life that generally happen either only once or a few times, and every time such an event happens, it's considered to be a great and a large event in that person's life and in the lives of those individuals around that one individual. Some of these moments are either happy moments, and some of these moments are sad moments. Some of these moments and events can either make a person's life, or some of these moments and events and occasions can break a person's life. Bear in mind that each of these events, like I mentioned, because of the very few times they happen in an individual's life, there's a lot of care taken at this moment in time. Sometimes, if we know beforehand, we have taught ourselves and educated ourselves as to what is to be done at that point in time, we will follow the Islamic commands, injunctions, and will practice the teachings of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam at that time. And if either we haven't educated ourselves, B, we chose to remain ignorant, or C, we knew what the Islamic commands were, but because this is an event that happens so rarely and such few times in an individual's life, a person chooses to do what their desires want them to do while celebrating that moment. So it's a personal choice as to what an individual decides to do. There's a few of these events, and I only plan to touch on one of them today in the few moments that I have. The one that I plan to touch on today happens to be an individual's wedding, nikah. Now there's a few others as well. The birth of a child, for example. The death of an individual in one's family. Going to perform the pilgrimage, Hajj. So there's a few of these things in an individual's life that if one is educated properly, can at that moment in time follow the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. And if not, not educated, or one chooses to follow their own whims and desires, will break every command of the Prophet ﷺ. And do bear in mind that each of these events that I mentioned are a grand moment in an individual's life. And like I mentioned, they will either break an individual or make an individual. The Prophet ﷺ has been so kind that not only did he take the teachings from the Qur'an, but he ﷺ at each of these occasions as they happened in his life, or the lives of the individuals around him, the Prophet ﷺ was teaching us. Although he was just acting as a normal human being and doing these things as every individual would do in the course of their life, he sallallahu alayhi wasallam was in essence teaching us. Now also keep in mind that there are generally two reasons why an individual or individuals or families choose not to follow the teachings of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. A, because of customary reasons. Custom in my culture says that a certain event should happen in a certain manner. We have been doing it like this for generations. Everyone in our family has been doing it like this, so that's how we're going to do it. Or B, if an individual chooses to go contrary to the teachings of the Prophet ﷺ, another reason people generally give is that, well, it only happens once in your lifetime. And the truth is, I agree with you. It only happens once in your lifetime. That is precisely why an individual should follow every command of the Prophet ﷺ. That is precisely why it should be done right. And everything from that moment on, in a wedding for example, at the birth of a child for example, everything from that moment on depends on how you acted at that first moment. That is the foundation. That is the pillar. Right? When you build a house, you have a foundation. The stronger the foundation, the further you can go. This is the spirit. Now generally we don't think of this foundation. We're always thinking of physical foundations. This is the spiritual foundation. Following the commands of the Prophet ﷺ is the spiritual foundation at a wedding, at a birth of a child, and even at the death of an individual. Even at the death of an individual. Now take weddings for example, because that's what I briefly want to discuss today. The Prophet, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us in the Qur'an. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala begins Surah An-Nisa by mentioning this. يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسُ اتَّقُوا رَبَّكُمْ أَلَّذِي خَلَقَكُمْ مِن نَفْسٍ وَاحِدَةٍ وَخَلَقَ مِنْهَا زَوْجَةٍ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us, O people, be conscious of your Lord. Have fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who created you from a single soul, and created from that soul his mate. Right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is, that's exactly how we came to be. Two individuals came together and their children came to be. Those two individuals came together and their children came to be. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes this in that same ayah by saying, وَبَثَّ مِنْهُمَا رِجَالًا كَثِيرًا وَنِسَاءً. And it is through this that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spread many men and many women. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala goes on to say again, وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهُ. Although Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the taqwa at the beginning of the ayah, but once again Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the consciousness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and says, وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهُ الَّذِي تَسَاءَلُونَ بِهِ وَالْأَرْحَامِ. And fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through whom you demand your mutual rights. Mutual rights between a husband and a wife. And do not break, in other words, do not break ties of kinship. إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ عَلَيْكُمْ رَقِيبًا. And know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is looking over you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is well aware of what you do. That is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran. And then we learn from the teachings, among other, many other ayahs by the way, but then the teachings of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The first, now do bear in mind that there are many individuals here right now who are married. So as, since you're already married, there's no sort of going back. But obviously, soon enough inshaAllah, you may have children who will be at that age of marriage. And as you or your parents were responsible at the time of your marriage, it will become your responsibility in order to marry off your children, or your grandchildren, or children in your family. And at that critical point in time, an individual will need to decide, consciously decide, how they wish to carry out that command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How they wish to carry out that responsibility that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put upon them. Right? That's a conscious choice an individual will make. And to begin with, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam reminds us in a hadith that a woman is married for four reasons. تُنْكَحُ الْمَرْأَةُ لِأَرْبَعِينَ. A woman is married for four reasons. Allah subhanahu, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions four reasons. Now we all know these four reasons. For her faith, لِدِينِهَا, for her faith, لِمَالِهَا, for her wealth, she may come from a wealthy family. وَلِحَسَبِهَا, because of her status, she may carry a great status in the community, in her family. وَلِجَمَالِهَا, or her beauty, not necessarily in that order. These are four reasons why a woman would be married. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, فَظْفَرْ بِذَاتِ الدِّينِ. When you choose, choose based on faith, on her faith. تَرِبَتْ يَدَاكَ. And if you don't choose based on deen, based on faith, you will be destroyed. The literal translation of taribat yadak is that may your hands touch the soil. May your hands rub in soil. In other words, you won't have anything left. Now generally speaking, in today, not all the time, but generally speaking, in today's day and age, one chooses their spouse. Or parents may even some parents may choose a spouse, or may prefer a spouse just based on the way that individual looks. The most important thing for a young man or a young woman, generally speaking, happens to be the looks. What that person looks like. And if you like what that person looks like, then you will further communicate and say, well, let's get to know each other because I like the way you look. Otherwise, let's just drop it right here. How many young individuals who have been through marriages or consciously choose, are active in getting their friends married, one of the first things they exchange after knowing a little bit about that individual through an email happens to be a picture. Can I see a picture? You know, we'll base it on that. If I like you, that's fine. Oh yeah, okay, now we can talk. Otherwise, no, we're not interested. Even after that, we generally happen to look at the educational background of that individual. Some people have standards set. That individual must have their master's, and so and so and so and so. And I know this for a fact. When there's a young individual who is about to graduate, or who has freshly graduated, and you may approach the parents of an individual, both a young man or a young woman, they may simply say, well, that's not enough yet. That person's not accomplished, hasn't accomplished anything, is not established. Only recently came out of college, only recently came out of university. They only have their bachelor's. Not realizing that that individual may actually have the potential to become a better individual. Right? Not everyone, no one comes out of their mother's stomach becoming established. No one knows anything. The smartest, the brightest, the richest person may not be the best person. right? May not be the best person. You have to look at the qualities in an individual. That does this individual have the qualities to be a good individual, to remain a good individual, to be a good mother or father to my children, to be a good spouse to me, to be an individual who will not only take care of his or her parents, but if need be, will take care of my parents. Right? Qualities. So naturally, I know this, generally after we take a look at that first picture, we generally go and see what's the character of this individual. And sometimes we base everything on the character of an individual. Do bear in mind that the character of an individual is part of their deen, but it's not deen in its entirety. A person may have a great character, may be a great person, but may not be a practicing Muslim. Now do bear in mind that sometimes we become so attached to individuals out of premarital, that's why Islam doesn't allow this, premarital relationships, that we sometimes become blinded to the faults of that individual. And after we get married, after a few years of that honeymoon period where everything is fine dandy, and you decide to have children, or you end up having children, and all of a sudden you decide that maybe this is not the direction I wanted to lead my life in. Because a lot of times between that age of about 15 and 25, everyone's just out there having fun, really not thinking for themselves. And all of a sudden an individual reaches that age of maturity, right? Mental maturity. So when you finally decide at some point in your life that, you know, you've become a father now, or you've been a husband or a wife for a number of years, but now it just dawned on you all of a sudden after 3 years into the marriage that you have actually become a husband, or that you've actually become a wife, or now you've actually become a father, you actually have a child, and now you have to raise a child. And at that age of marriage, it's very possible that you were not doing things the way it was practiced in your own household as you were growing up. And now all of a sudden you want to practice those things the way you were brought up. Hopefully good things. Because generally good things or bad things carry on from generation to generation. It's a cycle. For example, domestic violence is a cycle. Right? If you've seen your father do it, you may claim to never want to do it. But believe it or not, there will be a point in your life where you may end up doing it. Consciously or unconsciously. You've seen it, it's a cycle. You see good things amongst your parents, it's a cycle. That's how you will treat your spouse, whether husband or whether wife. Always keep that in mind. Right? That's just the way it is. Now especially in today's day and age, when young individuals get married, right? We're this new Western young couple, right? Both degrees, working, so on and so forth. Very, very common thing to happen. Very common thing to happen. And one of the greatest reasons why young individuals today are breaking up or are having arguments is because the husband, generally speaking again, not only does he expect his young raised Western Muslim American wife to go to work, make money and have a decent career, but now all of a sudden he's thinking of his mom, the role his mom played in their parents' marriage. She was the one that cooked generally, she was the one that did the laundry, she was the one that took care of the kids. And so now you have this unconscious or subconscious expectation of your wife. That, you know what, that's just the way I want it. My dad never did this. Now you may do a little bit here and there around the house and feel all happy that you're serving, you know, you're doing things around the house. You know, do a little bit and say, I do that at home. Change the diaper once a month and say, I change the kid's diaper. You're not lying. I do the laundry. Last time you did the laundry was 6 months ago. Do bear in mind, these are very small details. But sometimes the greatest arguments in a marriage come out of the smallest details. Right? Sometimes the greatest arguments come out of really small details. And for those of you that are married, you know exactly what I'm talking about. And if some of you have been married for the last 5 or 7 years, young, educated, well-to-do couples, you know exactly what I'm talking about. You know exactly what I'm talking about. So these are, you know, the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam has told us. These are things that, you know, when you get married, you're just not getting married because she's hot or he's hot. You're getting married because you're going to spend the rest of your life with this individual. And you should have clear expectations. You should be able to see in that individual, not just from your eyes, from the eyes of your heart, from the eyes of your consciousness, to see whether that person is a suitable spouse. And if there are certain things about that individual that bug you, then bear in mind, they will bug you after the marriage as well. And that's why I tell young individuals that sometimes, not all the time by the way, parents don't quote me on this. Sometimes when a parent chooses a spouse for an individual, hope, and by the way, don't get me wrong, because sometimes even parents are very biased. They've made promises to their brothers and sisters in some different parts of the world that I will have my son or daughter marry your son or daughter. That's incorrect. Islam does not allow that. Right? Islam does not allow that. But sometimes when a parent consciously chooses a good spouse and says, you know what, that person is a good individual, they're seeing from the wisdom that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to them because of their age. But Islam does not allow a parent to force a marriage onto a child, whether a young man or a young woman. Islam does not allow that. And I've said this before right here, in fact. Islam does not allow that, and that is the greatest oppression that you could do on your child. That is dhulm. Islam does not allow that. Islam allows you to consciously choose your spouse. But like I mentioned, it has to be a conscious decision. It has to be a decision in which one individual keeps Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in mind. It has to be a decision where an individual thinks, where do I want to go in life? And is this the individual that will assist me in getting there? Now this is a decision that both the young individuals, young man and young woman, will make at the time of choosing their spouse. But this is a decision in which parents will also assist them in making that decision. Right? The decision process is the most important process. Sometimes we don't think about this. Generally, when we think of marriages, we think of greater things, physically greater things. The marriage ceremony. Right? So many people think of the marriage ceremony so much that 2 weeks before the nikah, they've actually forgotten that they actually need an imam to perform the wedding ceremony. I'm not kidding. In fact, I just got an email this morning from an individual. The date is all set. They've been engaged for about a year and a half. Now all of a sudden they're struggling and looking for an imam. 8 days before the marriage, they realize that they don't have an imam to perform the nikah ceremony. Right? That's the way we think. Whereas in our custom, in our tradition, we used to look around and say, who is the best individual that can perform the nikah of myself or of my child? Right? You would work around their schedules because it was the barakah of their reciting the verses of the Quran, their dua at the end of a ceremony that would mean a lot. Even if your relatives couldn't make it on that weekend, you wanted to begin on the right step. But we don't think. Now we're more worried about getting the hotel that we want, getting this that we want, making sure everyone is there. And then once everything has been decided, then we'll go searching for one imam, and if he can't make it, we'll go find another one. If he can't make it, that's fine. We'll just come to your office 2 days before the ceremony and do the nikah. It's okay. You know, we won't have the nikah at the hotel. You know, think about this. What do we prioritize in our lives? Now I'm not saying this just because I'm the imam who performs the nikah ceremony. I'm not asking you to work around my schedule. But the point is, think about this. Do we conscious? You know, at the time of the nikah, what are we doing? Are we being conscious? Are our salat being prayed? How many Islamic things are we doing at the time of a marriage, and how many things un-Islamic are we doing at the time of marriage? There's no harm, don't get me wrong. You know, some people, for example, we take in the Indian subcontinent, there is a custom called mehendi. A few days before the wedding, the women get together and they put all this henna and mehendi, and you know, there's a lot of dancing and singing, and I won't get into that. That's a primarily Hindu tradition, just for the record. Now, you know, you may end up having it, it's none of my business. Right? It's none of my business. But think about it. how many traditions are you following that are actually Islamic? How many traditions are you following that are actually have nothing to do with Islam? There's no harm. There's people getting together, they're having a good, you know, good moment. But are we being conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at those times? Are we being, there were people, there are still people who live, who ensure that not only are their friends and family members invited, but even the poor are invited. Because they want to make sure that at their weddings, as they are feeding their families and friends, they're inviting the poor as well and fulfilling that sadaqah. There's a big wedding ceremony, but how many actually of us think of a walima? How many? The walima is the sunnah. The walima is the sunnah. The wedding ceremony is not the sunnah. When we have the nikah, and I can tell you this, there's very few people. The sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ was to perform the nikah in the masjid. And we find in many of our traditions that after Salatul Jumu'ah, the bride's family, the groom's family would come together at the masjid, there would be an announcement, and after the sunnah prayers, whoever could attend would actually attend, the nikah would be done. And maybe some sweets would be given out. And then that's fine, they may have the walima the next day. But how many of us consciously choose to have the nikah in the masjid? But then of course we have this great excuse and we say, well, we want to invite our non-Muslim friends as well, and we want them to see. Well, you can invite them to this. You can still get the imam to say a few words at your wedding ceremony. Right? These are just some things that I've actually mentioned. There's just so much to go on. Right? Many of our children have intercultural marriages, not interreligious marriages. Intercultural marriages. Right? If your child has chosen their spouse based on deen, then the parents should look beyond the culture. Right? The parents should learn to look. If you know that your child is capable enough of making a good decision, and they've probably made a conscious decision in finding their spouse, a parent should look beyond that. Because they have done whatever they did on the basis of deen, on the basis of their faith, on the basis of making themselves better individuals. So we pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide and protect every single one of us. Getting married is no joke. Getting married is no joke. It's not a bed of roses. Although there is a bed of roses the first day as you walk into the hall. It's probably the only bed of roses that you will ever get. It's not a bed of roses after that. Inshallah it will be. In a different manner altogether. But if you haven't made that conscious choice, it's going to be a tough ride all along. And it's really, really not worth it. Ask those individuals who have not been conscious at the time of their marriage and making their decisions, and they're paying for it. Right? They're living lives that even they don't want to live at times. But they're just going through their marriages. Their life has no value. That's because they forgot that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala existed at the time of their marriage. It's only after their marriage and their problems, now they're running to the imam's office and the counselor's office and asking him, or you know, asking them to make dua and asking them to do this and talk to my spouse, and is there anything, you know, as people come into the office thinking I have some miracle pill that I'll give to them or something miracle for them to recite, in 24 hours all their problems will go away. No. This was something you should have thought of on the first day. Well before the first day. If you have children who are young, even if they're young, 5, 6, 7 years old, someday they will get married. This is something that you need to start thinking of right now. And obviously that doesn't mean that you're going to impose on them everything. The way you're going to raise your children is going to make an effect at the time of their marriage and how they lead their own lives after marriage. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide and protect every single one of us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ease our affairs. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant all of us happiness in our marriages, for those of us that are married, and for all those of us that are looking for spouses. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all a good, pious spouse. Ameen ya Rabbil Alameen.